When he was planning to resign, he called this meeting the gathering of
the Early Birds Club.
Because you had been early bird onto his campaign.
His definition of early bird was the public officials who supported him before the New Hampshire primary. He won the New Hampshire primary.
So where was this gathering?
The White House. The first one was about 3 weeks after he was inaugurated. Rosemary Wood, who was his secretary, called up and invited me down for dinner at the White House. When I got there, I found there were about 25 of us there, all Nixon supporters before the New Hampshire primary. And Nixon came in and shook hands with us all and talked to us and slapped us on the back, and we had a very pleasant, convivial evening. And he told us that this was the Early Birds Club. He was going to be in touch with us because we'd helped him get the nomination when nobody else would. And everything was fine. Well, the next meeting of the Early Birds Club was just before he resigned. That afternoon before he resigned, Rosemary Wood called up, and he hadn't announced he was going to resign yet. But she invited me down to dinner at the White House again and went down, and it was the same group, but we hadn't met for 6 years. This time we met in the cabinet room where there's this long table with chairs, and there's one high back chair where the president sits. We didn't know that he was going to resign, but we had a premonition that he would. There was no conviviality. It was awkward. Nixon came in with his head down and never spoke to anybody or never pat anybody on the back or never asked, "How's your wife?" No exchanges of any kind. And he went right around the table and sat down in this tall back chair. And when he did that, we all scrambled around to get a seat around the big table. Nixon looked up and welcomed us, and then he started to talk. He talked about what he'd tried to do and where he thought he'd succeeded and where things hadn't gone right, and thought he had done some things that he'd be remembered favorably for. And the words just poured out of him for probably 45 minutes. And then he stopped talking and looked down. Then he raised his head up and looked around and he said, "Well, I hope I haven't let you down." And then he started to cry. And when he did, he jumped up from his chair and more or less hurried around the end of the table and down the hall. He'd scheduled an appearance on all three channels, I think for 8 o'clock that evening, and we were worried that he wouldn't be able to get his composure. But he did, and he made the announcement that he'd be resigning at 11 o'clock the next day.
What do you think went wrong with Richard Nixon?
Well, let me go back one step. When I was his national chairman, Bob Ellsworth, who was the campaign director, and I and John Sears, who was kind of the political guru, used to keep track of some issues that we needed guidance in. Him to pick where to make speeches and pick a press secretary. We needed advice on where to hold fundraisers. And we'd go up to New York to his apartment there on Park Avenue, and he had a Cuban couple that lived with him. They'd cook a nice dinner, and we'd have dinner, and we'd bring up our issues, and we'd talk them over and ask him for his conclusions. We never got any conclusions. He just didn't want to focus on minutia. He had his mind on the Cold War and opening the door to China. I don't know that there are any domestic issues that he ever focused on, really. And I think that was his undoing. He left it up to Haldeman and Ehrlichman and others to really do the presidential things, and they weren't up to it. They didn't have the experience or the mantle that the president wears. I don't think the president knew about Watergate before it happened. I think the people around him may have known about it and probably didn't know about it. But Nixon didn't want to sacrifice any of his faithful staff, people he depended on, and he got himself involved, and there was no place for him to turn loose.
He had this paranoia that developed to astound you. I mean, you knew the man, and then you heard these stories about him, that there was a mental...
Yeah, I was astounded. Those tapes. In fact, I was astounded the tapes were not destroyed. I don't know why he kept the tapes. I think Nixon distrusted the media. He thought they were out to destroy him, and I think he wanted a private record of what went on for historians to use in evaluating his presidency. I don't know that that's a fact, but that's the only reason I can come to, that why he kept the tapes and didn't destroy them.